Conspirators? I have never conspired with anyone. I have always served you. Above, on the command deck, I said in Captain Rubrin's ear, Captain, we have a problem.
Serving me, said Anandermi and I, is no longer sufficient, no longer sufficiently unambiguous. Which me do you serve?
What? Began Lieutenant On, and the... And then, I don't understand. What problem? Asked Captain Rubrin, bowl of tea halfway to her mouth, only mildly alarmed.
I am at war with myself, said me and I in the Var Decade room. I have been for nearly 1,000 years.
To Captain Rubrin, I said, I need one ask to be sedated.
At war, Anandermi and I continued on Vardek, over the future of the Roch.
Something must have come suddenly clear for Lieutenant On. I saw a sharp, pure rage in her. Annexations and ancillaries and people like me being assigned to the military.
I don't understand you, ship, said Captain Rubrin, her voice even but definitely worried now.
She set down her tea on the table beside her.
Over the treaty with a Presger, said me and I angrily. The rest followed from that. Whether you know it or not, you are the instrument of my enemy.
And Mercy of Sarsa 1 Amat 1 exposed whatever it was you were doing at Ime, said Lieutenant On, her anger still clear and steady. That was you. The system governor was making ancillaries. You needed them for your war with yourself, didn't you? And I'm sure that's not all she was doing for you. Is that why that soldier had to die, even if it meant extra trouble getting her back from the Ur? And
I'm still standing by, ship, said Lieutenant Dariot in the Esk Decade Room, but I don't like this.
Mercy of Sarsa 1 Amat 1 knew almost nothing, but in the hands of the Ur, she was a piece that my enemy might use against me. As an officer on a troop carrier, you are nothing. But in a position of even minor planetary authority, with the potential backing of Skyot Hour to help you increase your influence, you are a potential danger to me. I could have just maneuvered you out of Oars, out of Hour's way. But I wanted more. I wanted a graphic argument against recent decisions and policies. Had that fisherman not found the guns, or not reported them to you, had events that night gone as I wished, I would have made sure the story was on all the public channels. In one gesture, I would have secured the loyalty of the Tanmind and removed someone troublesome to me. Both minor aims, but I also would have been able to impress on everyone the danger of lowering our guard, of disarming in even a small way, and the danger of placing authority in less than competent hands.
She made a short, bitter ha.
I admit, I underestimated you. Underestimated your relationship with the Orsians in the lower city.
One Var could delay no longer and walked into the Var Decade room, gun in hand. Lieutenant On heard it come in, turned her head slightly to watch it. It was my job to protect the citizens of Ors. I took it seriously. I did it to the best of my ability. I failed that once. But not because of you. She turned her head, looked straight at Anandermi and I, and said, I should have died rather than obey you in the Temple of Ikt, even if it wouldn't have done any good.
You can fix that now, can't you? Said Anandermi and I, and gave me the order to fire. I fired.
20 years later, I would say to Aerolespora Stregan that Rodchai authorities didn't care what a citizen thought so long as she did as she ought to do. It was quite true. But since that moment, since I saw Lieutenant Awn dead on the floor of my VAR decade room, shot by one VAR, or to speak with less self-deception, by me, I've wondered what the difference is between the two. I was compelled to obey this Mianai in order to lead her to believe that she did indeed compel me. But in that case, she did compel me. Acting for one Mianai or the other was indistinguishable, and of course in the end, whatever their differences, they were both the same. Thoughts are ephemeral. They evaporate in the moment they occur, unless they're given action and material form. Wishes and intentions the same. Meaningless, unless they impel you to one choice or another. Some deed or course of action, however insignificant. Thoughts that lead to action can be dangerous. Thoughts that don't mean less than nothing. Lieutenant Awn lay on the floor of the VAR decade room, face down again, dead. The floor under her would need repair and cleaning. The urgent issue, the important thing at that moment, was to get one Esk moving, because in approximately half a second, no amount of filtering I could do would hide the strength of its reaction. And I really needed to tell the captain what had happened, and I couldn't remember Mianai's enemy, Mianai herself, laying down the orders I knew she had laid on me, and why couldn't one Esk see how important it was? We weren't ready to move openly yet, and I'd lost officers before. And who was one Esk anyway, except me? Myself. And Lieutenant Awn was dead, and she had said, I should have died rather than obey you. And then, one VAR swung the gun up and shot Anander Mianai point blank in the face. In a room down the corridor, Anander Mianai leaped with a cry of rage off the bed she'd been lying on.
Otter's tits, she was here before me!
In the same moment, she transmitted the code that would force one VAR's armor down, until she reauthorized its use. It was a command that didn't rely on my obedience, an override neither Anander would have wanted to do away with. Captain, I said, now we really have a problem. In another room down the same corridor, the third Mianai, the second, now, I suppose, opened one of the cases she had brought with her and pulled out a sidearm, and stepped quickly into the corridor and shot the nearest one VAR in the back of the head. The one who had spoken opened her own case, pulled out a sidearm and also a box I recognized from Jen Shinnan's house in the upper city on Shiserna. Using it would disadvantage her as well as me, but it would disadvantage me badly. In the seconds she took to arm the device, I formed intentions, transmitted orders to constituent parts.
What problem? Asked Captain Rubrin, now standing, afraid.
And then, I fell to pieces. A familiar sensation. For the smallest fragment of a second, I smelled humid air and lake water, thought, where's Lieutenant Awn? And then I recovered myself and the memory of what I had to do. Tea bowls rang and shattered as I dropped what I was holding and ran from the Esk decade room down the corridor. Other segments, separated from me again as they had been in oars, muttering, whispering, the only way I could think between all my bodies, opened lockers, handed guns, and the first to be armed, forced the lift doors open and began to climb down the shaft. Lieutenants protested, ordered me to stop, to explain. Tried fruitlessly to block my way. I, that is, almost the entirety of one Esk, would secure the central access deck, prevent an Andromianae from damaging my, Justice of Torin's, brain. So long as Justice of Torin lived, unconverted to her cause, I, was a danger to her. I, 1-esque-19, had separate orders. Instead of climbing down the shaft to central access, I ran the other way, toward the Esk hold and the airlock on its far side. I wasn't, apparently, responding to any of my lieutenants, or even Commander Teond. But when Lieutenant Dariot cried,
"Ship, have you lost your mind?"
I answered. The Lord of the Roch shot Lieutenant on, cried a segment somewhere in the corridor behind me. "She's been on Vardek all this time." That silenced my officers, including Lieutenant Dariot, for only a second.
"If that's even true, but if it is, the Lord of the Roch wouldn't have shot her for no reason."
Behind me, the segments of myself that hadn't yet begun their climb down the lift shaft hissed and gasped in frustration and anger. "Useless," I heard myself say to Lieutenant Dariot, as at the end of the corridor I manually opened the hold door. "You're as bad as Lieutenant Isaiah. At least Lieutenant Awn knew she held her in contempt." An indignant cry, "Surely, Lieutenant Isaiah," and Dariot said,
"You don't know what you're talking about. You're not functioning right, ship."
The door slid open, and I couldn't stop to hear the rest, but plunged into the hold. A deep, steady thunking shook the deck I ran on. A sound just hours ago I thought I would never hear again. Me and I was opening the VAR holds. Any ancillary she thawed would have no memory of recent events, nothing to tell it not to obey this me and I, and its armor wouldn't have been disabled. She would take 2 VAR and 3 and 4, and as many as she had time to awaken, and try to take either the central access deck or the engines. More likely, both. She had, after all, VAR and every hold below it. Though the segments would be clumsy and confused, they would have no memory of functioning apart the way I had, no practice. But numbers were on her side. I had only the segments that had been awake at the moment I fragmented. Above, my officers had access to the upper half of the holds, and they would have no reason not to obey an Andromianae, no reason not to think I had lost my mind. I was at this moment explaining matters to 100 Captain Rubrin, but I had no confidence she would believe me or think me even remotely sane. Around me, the same thunking began that was sounding below my feet. My officers were pulling up Esk segments to thaw. I reached the airlock, threw open the locker beside it, pulled out the pieces of the vacuum suit that would fit this segment. I didn't know how long I could hold central access or the engines. I didn't know how desperate an Andromianae might be, what damage she might think I could do to her. The engine's heat shield was, by design, extremely difficult to breach, but I knew how to do it, and the Lord of the Roch certainly did as well. And whatever happened between here and there, it was a near certainty I would die shortly after I reached Valsky, if not before. But I wouldn't die without explaining myself. I would have to reach and board a shuttle, and then manually undock and depart Justice of Torin, myself, at exactly the right time, at exactly the right speed, on exactly the right heading, fly through the wall of my surrounding bubble of normal space at exactly the right moment. If I did all that, I would find myself in a system with a gate, 4 jumps from E-Ray Palace, one of Anandermianai's provincial headquarters. I could tell her what had happened. The shuttles were docked on this side of the ship. The hatches and the undocking ought to work smoothly. It was all equipment I had tested and maintained myself. Still, I found myself worrying that something would go wrong. At least it was better than thinking about fighting my own officers,
or the heat shields failing. I fastened my helmet. My breath hissed loud in my ears, faster than it should have. I forced myself to slow my breathing, deepen it. Hyperventilating wouldn't help.